practically express your love. Is this enough for you? Or something like that? Or something like this? Those are only for picture or video or for artificial expression, but it doesn't actually resonate the depthness of love. One definition of agape love of God is that love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Now, if we delight in worldly behavior and don't hesitate to teach the truth, is it considered as expression of love to our brothers and sisters in Christ? When we consider other Christians as brothers and sisters, is it right to consider that there are also older and younger Christians and treat them accordingly? Now, at one church, the older men were preparing to cook food for fellowship in the church, and one young person observed that one man was not very expert in cutting veggies. So the young man, who is gifted in cooking, he tried to teach the older man in a proficient and more efficient way to cut veggies to the older man may have been embarrassed that the younger person was more knowledgeable than him. Well, how do you appreciate older people when younger person teach you to cook? Together, let's seriously meditate on what it advises in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 1. Do not rebuke an older man harshly, but exhort him as if he were your father. How do you exhort your father? It's great to see young people. It's great to see young adults who are eager to teach, but older people don't necessarily welcome being told what to do. This is a cultural thing. Cultural tradition and practices are very important to older people. Remember that. Cultural tradition and practices. They cannot easily change over time. Younger generation may assume that teaching older people is their expression of love for them, but older people cannot readily appreciate it when their ego is pricked or insulted. Remember that. This is when the agape love of God comes into picture. How? Surely some people may appreciate when we express love for them, but it is not certain that others may appreciate the way we express our love. Even so, we sense peace when we express agape love, and we are saved from negative result of not being appreciated. If you express agape love and it's not appreciated, you don't feel bad, because agape love, there's this joy, there's this peace that you would sense in your heart no matter what result would come out. Now, can you accept that when someone uses the scripture passages to rebuke, when you use the scripture to teach, when you use the scripture to admonish, when you use the scripture to warn others, Do you accept that it is also another form of preaching? So parents, when you are using the scripture to your children, you are preaching. Can you accept that? It's called preaching. So it would be very helpful to pray and ask God for the gift of prophecy if you cannot help but preach, teach the Word of God, or proclaim the Word of God. You need the gift of prophecy. Why? Now, the gift of prophecy, this is a spiritual gift of expositing, interpreting the scripture, interpreting the divine truth, so that you would understand the message, divine message of God more properly, more clearly. You need the gift of prophecy. Prophecy, the term prophecy is where prophets, the term prophets come from. If you are a prophet, you are a messenger of God, messenger of God's message. So when you proclaim using the word of God, you are acting like a prophet, preacher. We should desire the gift of prophecy. We should pray and ask the Lord to give us the gift of prophecy. We should entreat God to grant us the gift of prophecy, to prophesy divine truth. Let's read again verse 1 and 2 of our passage. Follow the way of love, and eagerly desire the gift of the Spirit, especially prophecy. For anyone who speaks in tongues does not speak to people but to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. Now, please go back to verse 1. It says, follow the way of love. And the Bible says, God is love. Follow the way of God. And it says, eagerly desire the gift of the Spirit. The Spirit pertains to the Holy Spirit of God. Now take note of this. Following the way of love and eagerly desire of the Spirit, they are not separated. They are together. So if you want to express love, you need the gift of prophecy, or the spiritual gift. But especially, it says especially prophecy. But why do we desire, why do we implore, why do we plead and entreat God for the gift of prophecy? God preferred that the practice of spiritual gift is the method that He wants us to express His agape love, or He wants us to experience His agape love for us. You want to experience more of the love of God for you, then practice your spiritual gift. That is the only way, or the most practical way, that the Lord wants us to experience His love for us. When we practice our spiritual gift, He just don't come as like picking a cat or dog. Come on, you embrace that cat and dog, and you just touch the dog or the cat because you want to express your love to your pet, for example. That is not how God would do. That is human wants to do to their pet. But we are not pets of God. We are children of God. But since we cannot see God face to face, eye to eye, or touch Him like we touch physical, we just cannot experience His touch. He wants us to experience His touch when we practice that our spiritual gift. Why? Because the Holy Spirit Himself works in us, and that is when we experience much of His presence in our lives, when we are practicing our spiritual gifts. You want to experience much of God's love? Remember that practice your spiritual gift. Someone interpreted that when we practice our spiritual gifts, God will provide other practical concerns so that we should not be bothered by personal necessities. When God wants us to do something, even before we can think of what we need, He had already provided it. When God, remember this, if you go back to the Genesis chapter 1, during the creation, before God created humans, He prepared everything. And human was the last to be created. He prepared the water, the light, the food that he would eat. Now, think about that. If God created human first, for 6 days, human, wait, I'll create earth first. Just watch me. I'll create earth and heaven first. Human, wait, I'll create water, air, and light. Just stand there. Just watch me. Think about that. If God created human first, then for 6 days, the human would be starving, right? When we practice our spiritual gift, God had already provided everything we need to accomplish His purposes in our lives. How do you interpret what Christ advised in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33? Let's read together. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. How do you seek His kingdom? One way to seek His kingdom. One way to seek His authority. Seek His kingdom means we allow the Holy Spirit to prevail in us. When God prevails in us, His kingdom is in us. It's like this. How does the kingdom, if we belong to the kingdom of United Kingdom, under the king, how does the king reign over us? We follow. We follow the law, right? That is when we are under the government. When we seek His kingdom, the kingdom of God, His kingdom reign in us. His will reign in us. His commands, we follow. How? His righteousness, that is, well, we follow His commands, instruction. So one way to seek His kingdom and His righteousness, this is when we practice our spiritual gifts, because the Holy Spirit Himself works through us. Because one, we cannot practice our spiritual gift without the inspiration, the empowering of the Holy Spirit. If we do it on our own, we are not practicing our spiritual gift. We are obeying our inclination. We are practicing our personal instinct, our talent. And God will provide for our practical concerns, supports, even finances if it is needed, relationship if it is needed, even contacts, including emotional or physical health. If those things are necessary for us to be effective, when we practice our spiritual gift, the Lord provides them all. All these things will be given to you as well. As the Holy Spirit performs in and through us, we sense that peace and gladness of heart. We would not be forcing ourselves. Now, if you are doing ministry and you are forcing yourself and you do not sense peace and you do not sense that gladness of performing in the ministry, you are forcing yourself. The Holy Spirit is not working in you. You are not practicing your spiritual gift. You are just punishing yourself, I would say. When we practice our spiritual grief, we also pray that the Holy Spirit empowers us, inspires us to perform what He prescribes us to do. What He prescribes us to do, His instruction, not what we want to do. Among other spiritual gifts, why should we desire the spiritual gift of prophecy? Why is it that it says in our passage, follow the way of love and eagerly desire the gift of the Spirit, especially prophecy? Why would the Bible say that? Apostle Paul compared the significance of spiritual gift of prophecy and the spiritual gift of speaking in tongue. Now, spiritual gift of prophecy, this is when we edify. Edify means to train. Edify means to inform. Edify means to educate other believers. To edify the church is to train, to inform, to educate the church. That is the spiritual gift of prophecy. Now, Apostle Paul compared the gift of prophecy in this passage, the gift of prophecy in the gift of speaking in tongue. Probably, some Corinthians tried to compare spiritual gifts. Which one is greater? Which one is better than the other? And some of them may have emphasized speaking in tongues. When the disciples were baptized with the Holy Spirit, the first disciples who were baptized with the Holy Spirit, they speak in tongues. It was the first practical proof of being baptized with the Holy Spirit. It says in Acts chapter 1, verse 4 to 5, on one occasion, while Jesus was eating with them, He gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift My Father promised, which you have heard Me about, speak about. For John baptized with water, but in few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now at the time, the Holy Spirit has not come down yet, because Jesus was still with the disciples. But after His resurrection, Jesus stayed with the particular disciples, not to everyone else. Jesus stayed with the particular disciples for 40 days, and then He was taken into heaven. The Holy Spirit came and filled the disciples on Pentecost Day. Pentecost means 50th day after the Passover, from the term Pente or 50. 50th day after the Passover. Jesus died and buried before Passover meal. Before Passover meal start, Jesus died and buried. And He resurrected on the third day. So He stayed with the disciples for 40 days. How many days after the Passover? When He stayed with the disciples for 40 days before He returned to heaven? That's already 43, right? 43 days after Passover. So 7 days after Christ returned to heaven, on Pentecost Day, the Holy Spirit came down. They waited for 1 week after Jesus said that the Holy Spirit will come. They waited for 1 week. Reflect on what it narrated in Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. The Holy Spirit enables speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues, you can learn, but in this situation, speaking tongues was enabled by the Holy Spirit. If anyone insists on speaking in tongue, but not baptized by the Holy Spirit, what is the point of it? Be wise, be smart, to carefully choose the spiritual gift you may desire. Speak in tongue was first practical manifestation of the Holy Spirit, but Apostle Paul advised, desire the gift of prophecy. Sometimes first is most important, but not necessarily true all the time. It's not because you are first, you are the most important. The first son of Abraham was Ishmael, but Isaac was more important. The first son of Isaac was Esau, but God preferred Jacob over Esau. Reuben was the first son of Jacob, but Joseph was given double portion of inheritance. The first king of Israel was Saul, but David was the greatest king of Israel. How about spiritual gifts? What does the scripture teach about spiritual gift of prophecy? We are challenged to desire the spiritual gift of prophecy. Desire the spiritual gift of prophecy. It's a command. Did you know that? It's a command. Follow the way of love. That's a command. Follow the way of love. That's a command. And eagerly desire the gift of the Spirit. That's a command. Especially prophecy. It means eagerly desire the gift of prophecy. That is a command. Did you include that in your list of command of God? Follow the way of love and desire the spiritual gift of prophecy. How does the gift of prophecy relate to the command to preach? It advised in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season, correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. That is preaching. If you are trying to correct somebody using the word of God, you are trying to rebuke somebody using the word of God, if you are trying to encourage somebody using the word of God, it's preaching. But preach with great patience and careful instruction. It's not because that it is the word of God, then you can use it appropriately at any given moment. Interestingly, we are commanded to preach in season and out of season, whereas we are not required to speak in tongues in season or out of season. There's no command like that in the Bible. In season or out of season can mean anytime, anywhere you preach the word of God. It's not just preaching during worship service like now. Preaching requires intelligible interpretation of the Word of God. Don't use the Word of God just because you memorize the Word of God. You need to intelligently interpret the Word of God, what it means to you and to your listener. To interpret divine truth correctly, this is when we need the gift of prophecy. Parents, pray about that. Maybe you are not called to be preacher, or maybe you are called to be preacher or missionary, I don't know. But if you are a parent, you would be teaching, educating your children. So you need the gift of prophecy. Remember that, even if that is the only lesson that you would memorize today, to pray and ask God desire for the gift of prophecy. That would be enough for you today. The rest of the sermon would just be an adage, but if you can remember that, or remember other part of the lesson, it would be great. But I pray that each parent in this sanctuary, in those who are viewing with us, may desire the gift of prophecy and ask prayerfully the Lord to grant the gift of prophecy. The gift of prophecy is to interpret divine truth correctly. You may speak in tongue anytime, anywhere you like, but it is not required. The scripture does not require that. The purpose of speaking in tongue, this is for personal edification. Edify means to train, educate. So it's personal, to personal inform or educate, edify the self. But the spiritual gift of prophecy is useful to train, to inform, educate, and edify the church, brothers and sisters in Christ. Let's read again verse 3 and 4 of our passage. But the one who prophesies, speak to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. Anyone who speaks in tongue, edifies themselves, but the one who prophesies edifies the church. Now, again, the term edify means train, inform, educate. So speaking in tongues is for the self, while the gift of prophecy is for the church or for other believers. Take note that the practice of the spiritual gifts should be in context of agape love, that we are inspired by the Holy Spirit when we practice our spiritual gifts. So when many parents cannot get positive results when they rebuke children because it's not in the context of agape love. They do it because they feel angry, or maybe they feel bad that their children are disobedient. God said, love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbors as yourself. The basis of loving your neighbor is love for yourself. Love for others is based on love for ourselves. Now, love for others, this is agape love. When it says love your neighbors, the term love that is used there is agape. Agape, agape love, or godly love. Love for others is agape love, while love for the self is not narcissistic. It's philautia love. Philautia love, that is love for the self. All right? Love for the self, this is love for personal well-being, love for self-esteem, self-compassion. That's love for the self. It's not narcissistic. So a spiritual gift in tongue is meant to train, to enlighten, edify the self. And this is love for the self. It's not agape love. It's philautia love. It's for personal well-being, personal self-esteem, self-compassion. Think about that. How do you love yourself? Think of your well-being. You want to promote the best of you. You want the best health of you. Now, if you are just eating whatever you want to eat because it is tasty, you're destroying yourself, you are not loving yourself. Now, if you do not take your medicine because you believe that it's bad to take medicine, and you know that the doctor said, take your medicine because it's useful for you, and you don't take it, you are not loving yourself. If you are not loving yourself, how can you love your neighbor? Because the basis of loving neighbor is love for the self. Therefore, speaking in tongue, this is philautia love. It's not expression of agape love. In comparison, as expression of agape love, the gift of prophecy helps us to interpret divine truth, for us to communicate the message of God very clearly, to encourage others, to teach others, to admonish others, to edify the church. We should interpret divine truth clearly. We should understand more, practice more, apply more in our lives for us to clearly understand if it is really necessary that we would teach it. If I preach, drink your water. 8 glasses a day. And I don't drink my water, that is not good. I know of a missionary who don't drink water. That person just drinks soft drinks because that person was scared that the water was contaminated. He just drinks soft drinks. How can you say you love yourself when you understand that soft drink is not necessarily healthy for the body? If we clearly understand the language by heart, it has deeper meaning personally. This is why we need the gift of prophecy. So to understand the Word of God more clearly, we need the gift of prophecy. The gift of prophecy is the gift to interpret divine truth. Do you hear that? Now, there was this traffic violator who was apprehended by a traffic officer. I don't know if you have watched this video, but I'm not providing you this video right now. I don't like the words that was said. I understand a little, but for those Visaya, they understand it. So the traffic officer apprehended this traffic violator. And the driver, what's up? They greeted each other. And then the traffic officer told the driver, I need your driver's license, your registration of car ownership, and car insurance. And the driver said something in Filipino language. And the traffic officer asked him, are you Visaya? Visaya is one of the languages in the Philippines. Visaya is mostly spoken in the central part of the Philippines. And the driver asked the traffic officer in Visayan language, are you Visaya also? That's not how he said it, but I just translated it in English. And the traffic officer and the driver, they laugh together because they understand each other. The driver laughed in relief because the tension between them was minimized subsequently. They understand each other. I don't know if the violator was ticketed eventually, but it did not show in the video. If you are really interested about that, you can go to the internet later, but not today, right? But I warn you that the Visayan, they speak in dirty language in their Visayan language. I would say that is. So don't. If you go and see it, just put it in silent mode so that you will not hear. You can only read the the letters there. Anyway, understanding a language from the heart, this transmits a message much better. When you understand it better, then the message comes much better. Anytime, anywhere, it can be divine opportunity to teach the Word of God. It can be divine opportunity to share the gospel anytime, anywhere. So the spiritual gift of prophecy helps us interpret divine message more accurately. It helps us prepare to teach, to preach, to share the gospel. And listener responds better when we translate or communicate the gospel in a clearer way. Interestingly, the Holy Spirit filled the disciples. And what it happened, it narrated in Acts chapter 2 after they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. Let's read verse 6 to 13. A crowd came together in bewilderment because one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hear them in our native language, Parthian, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them. The disciples were speaking in tongues after they were filled with the Holy Spirit, after they were baptized by the Holy Spirit. They spoke in languages that the crowd understood. It even recorded the languages they heard. It was recorded in the Bible because they heard it, understood it. The language that was spoken by the disciples speaking in tongues were understood by the crowd. And the crowd was confused about what was happening. And in their amazement, the confused crowd, what did they do? Some of them made fun of them. That was their reaction. They made fun of them. When the apostle Peter heard the crowd, if you read through that passage later, if you go to chapter 2 of Acts, Apostle Peter heard the crowd, was confused by the speaking in tongues of the disciples. He stood, started preaching the gospel. But before that, remember that when Christ was tortured, he was asked if he knew Jesus. He denied Jesus 3 times. "No, I don't know the man. I don't know him. No, I'm not with him." He denied. He was so scared that he would be implicated in the charge with Jesus. But after he was filled with the Holy Spirit, there was this courage of empowerment of Apostle Peter. He stood up and preached, talk about the gospel. It recorded in Acts chapter 2, verse 41, "Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day." They understood the message that Apostle Peter preached. 3,000 were converted in one preaching as a result of the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit filled Peter did not hesitate to preach before a crowd. Preaching the gospel of Christ, this is a practical manifestation of love for others. How do you express your love to your relatives, to your loved ones, to your family, your neighbor, your friends, your classmates? It's not this. You don't do this. You don't just say like that. Those are just for picture taking, for Facebook or social media. But it's not expression of love. That's not enough. If you really are, you want to express your love, tell them about the gospel of Jesus Christ. But I am scared, Pastor. Yes, I know. This is why we need the empowerment of the Holy Spirit like Peter. Wait for that time when you sense that joy, that peace in your heart, that eagerness to preach. That is when, that is your go signal. Prayerfully plead, entreat God, plead, entreat God to give you the gift of prophecy. Again, if there is one thing that you would learn today from our sermon, this is when you go home and your quiet time, ask God, plead, entreat God, Lord, give me the gift of prophecy. If you do that, you'll hear this message. You heard this sermon. Even if that is the only lesson you can bring home today. If you are able to correctly interpret the divine message of God personally, you will be able to share the gospel with your loved ones more accurately with agape love. Discover your spiritual gift. If you haven't discovered yet, try to participate in the different ministries until you sense the agape love of God, until you sense that gladness in serving God. Praise God for the Board of Deacons. The Board of Deacons have identified many ministry opportunities. And perhaps in a little while, during the Sunday school, or sometime during the year, they will tell you which opportunity, ministry opportunity, you may participate. If you haven't discovered yet your ministry participation, or if you haven't discovered your spiritual gift, participate in ministries that may attract you until you sense that joy, that peace. It encourages us in Romans chapter 12, verse 6 to 8. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then encourage. Then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Remember that no Christian have all this gift. Even the pastor does not have all this gift. Why? Because God wants us, each of us, to participate. Just like our physical body. Not all physical body have all the qualities of its part. The hands cannot do the part of the eye. The eye cannot do the part of the ear. The ear cannot do the part of the feet. So, I don't know if your head can do walking, but that is weird, right? But warning, involvement in the ministry attracts difficult struggles. So don't insist on doing ministry on your own effort. It's not because you are talented in one ministry and one thing, then you insist, I know this, I can do this. You can be disappointed and frustrated when you are not filled with the Holy Spirit. So prayerfully seek to be inspired by the Holy Spirit to cheerfully serve the Lord. If you do not sense that cheerfulness, that gladness, and that peace when serving the Lord, ask to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Or maybe you are in the wrong ministry. When we participate in a ministry regularly, we also experientially, empirically know our spiritual gift, if this is my spiritual gift or not. Again, why is spiritual gift so important in life? Your spiritual gift can also be used when you go to work, when you look for a job, your career. Because God wants us to excel. Do you believe that? If you want to excel in the job that you are in, be sure that you are practicing your spiritual gift. Ministries are also opportunities to discover, to test if we are in, if this is really our gift. If your gift is teaching, you will have that joy teaching. You will not be burdened by it. You will not be burdened by preparation of it. But if even if you are a teacher, if it's not your gift of teaching, you will not like preparing. You may have graduated as teacher, but when you teach, you complain about preparing papers, preparing the examination, or checking papers. You complain about that, and you are very disturbed. The teaching is not your gift. I know of a pastor. He's a pastor, but he said, "I don't like preaching. It's so tough for me to preach." And many pastors, even those who are listening, pray probably. And there are pastors who are listening to us, who are viewing with us. They do it at the last minute. They sleep past 12 because they haven't finished it, what they would preach in the morning. Maybe they are called as pastor, but not pulpit preacher. This is why they are so pressured to prepare sermon at the last minute. That is not, the Lord does not want us to feel bad of what we do. He wants us to enjoy. He wants us to have that gladness, that peace that comes from Him. So when we are not doing what He wants us to do, we are pressured. We just want to accomplish things because we want to finish things and not be told by others, "Oh, you did not do your part." And that is what pressures us, others. And there is this testing when we are involved in ministry. Testing can be trials that may challenge us, challenge our dependence in the Lord. For us to test if we really are inspired by the Holy Spirit. So when you are pressured, but you sense in your heart, you have that joy of doing, but you are pressured, then probably you are not depending upon the Lord. You are not relying upon the Lord. You are relying upon your effort. And I experience it. I prove it many times. When I am pressured to complete, to finish my sermon, because the sermons, Kuya Max needs to put it on the website before Saturday so that you can read before Saturday. In the website, the sermon, the manuscript that I'm reading, it's already in the website, even before I preach. And I am pressured to do that because he needs to put it in the website. When I'm pressured, I feel that pressure. And then I relax. I know I am depending on my brain. So when I relax and ask, "Lord, sorry, forgive me, I'm not depending upon you," it is when He poured out to me the ideas He wants me to preach. So when you are pressured in doing ministries, keep praying, "Lord, I want to experience more of your love, your peace, your joy." When we depend upon the Lord, His agape love prevails in us. His agape love protects us from unpleasant results, undesirable, unexpected events that we cannot agree with. What we do, not everyone will appreciate it. But anyway, even if others would not appreciate what we do, as long as we have that agape love in us, we have peace. God, in His agape love, protects us from negative effect on us of what others may say. So prayerfully ask the Holy Spirit for inspiration. Discern which ministry He prefers for you to excel and enjoy. Even if we may not be able to explain it, why and how. But why should we enjoy ministry? So that others would be inspired. Look at that. Leader has always smile in his face, and you are inspired. He's been there. Nobody's telling him to do what he needs to do, but he is there. Who is not inspired by that kind of person, that kind of brother? But if a leader is there, very strict, and you cannot even say smile, how would you like that kind of leader? You don't like that kind of employer, right? Same is true in the church much more, right? And we are not testifying of God's goodness. We are not testifying of God's love and joy. When you see angry preacher, how do you like that angry preacher preaching? It's not inspiring, right? I don't know if you are inspired. Let's read again verse 5 of our passage. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather have you prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets so that the church may be edified. If no one interprets, if no one explains in plain language that others may understand, that listeners may understand, the gift of prophecy is more preferable choice than the gift of speaking in tongues. Many times I'm tempted to speak in my Ilocano language, but I would like to see if there are Ilocano who may explain what I said. Earlier we are encouraged, desire the gift of prophecy. It means if the Lord wants us to desire the gift of prophecy, He certainly gives it for us to clearly interpret divine message. Many who read the Bible, even Christians, do not have that enthusiasm of reading the Bible. Why? They cannot understand, even if it is English. This is when the gift of prophecy comes in. Now, ask the Lord, Lord, give me the gift of prophecy, and try to read the Bible. If the Bible doesn't come as like very appealing to you, then keep on asking the Lord, give me the gift of prophecy. And you will find out reading the Bible is really very interesting, attractive, because it speaks to us deep in our hearts. When it speaks to us, there is this deep joy that you cannot explain. What is it? It's the Holy Spirit working in your heart. Additionally, it's greater than speaking in tongues to practice the gift of prophecy. It is greater, it says, it is greater to interpret divine truth, that is prophesying. Prophesying is greater than speaking in tongues. Does it follow then that if you prophesy, that if you interpret the word of God, interpret divine truth more properly and share it with others, does it mean that there is greater reward waiting when we prophesy and preach the gospel of Christ? How do you interpret what it declares in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17? The elders who direct the affair of the church well are worthy of double honor, especially those whose work is preaching and teaching. I hope you would memorize this so that next year when we have election for church leaders, you would accept your nomination. This double honor, I don't know what it is, but it is double, right? It's not single. It means you have more. I don't know what God brings, but it's surely, you understand that you'll like it. When you are honored, for example, you are a cook, you cook something delicious, when you present what you cook and somebody appreciates it, oh, you really are a good cook, and you are pleased. You like that because it confirms your talent, right? Now, responsible church leaders, they diligently perform their task. And in addition to their assigned ministry, you also observe church leaders who teach in Sunday school, preach when they are get opportunity. Well, we have opportunity for our leaders to preach on Christmas Day. This is a reminder for the church leaders, actually. They will be preaching, all of them, our church leaders, on Christmas Day. I will not be preaching on Christmas Day. So come and be inspired. And preaching the Word of God, teaching the Word of God is not limited to church leaders. It's not limited to preaching on the pulpit. Actually, when you mention the scripture at the coffee shop, that is informal preaching. When you share the gospel at the park, it's informal preaching. When you explain what you understood from the scripture, speak of what you have heard from the sermon, it's informal preaching. It's informal teaching of the Word of God. Preaching does not need to be 1 hour preaching. Preaching can be a minute or few minutes. While you lead the praise and worship and you share what you understood from the scripture that speak to you when you are practicing, your song is also another informal preaching. When your office mate asks, why do you work on Sundays? Why don't you take overtime on Sundays? And you explain, Sundays are holy and set apart for the Lord. That's for me. They could be curious. And they ask, why is that? That will be your divine appointment to tell them about your faith in Christ. If they dig deeper into your faith, into your belief, you should be able to explain the gospel of Christ. What is the gospel of Christ? Are you ready for such divine opportunity to share the gospel of Christ? Are you prepared to explain the good news? Well, what is the bad news? This is the bad news. All of us have sinned, and we are destined to eternal torture. That's the bad news. The good news, Jesus Christ died on the cross for the penalty of our sins. His blood shed on the cross washed away our sins. That's simple. If they don't believe it, that's okay. I pray for them that they may have faith. If they want to help you, if they ask you to explain further, but you cannot explain it, pray that you would invite them and come to church. There are many here who can explain the gospel very clearly. Only by faith we believe such mysterious way of God to demonstrate His love for us through the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. But always remember, prayerfully seek the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and desire the gift of prophecy. Again, for the third time, if that is the only lesson you have learned today, to pray and desire for the gift of prophecy, then please do so. Pray to be filled with the Holy Spirit so that you will sense it when divine appointment to share the gospel is at hand. You will know it. You will know when you speak. Don't just speak randomly or you will be frustrated, especially when you're speaking of the gospel of Christ. Let's stand up and let's pray. Silently pray, silently ask the Lord to fill you with the Holy Spirit and desire for the gift of prophecy. Ask the Lord, plead to the Lord, entreat God to grant you the gift of prophecy for you to be able to explain the gospel of Christ more clearly.